Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
But it burned. For me and her, burned. There was a burning.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
There's worse ways to go than eating grilled cheese every day and having sex every day.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast with Maddie and Smitty. It's presented by Anchor. We do this fine podcast on the Anchor app. Download the Anchor app. Give it a shot. It is sponsored by Lops Brewing in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. You can follow us on Twitter, Sports and Shit Pod, on Instagram, Sports Smitty. We're also on Facebook, and you can email us at sportsandshitpod@gmail.com. That's sportsandshitpod@gmail.com. I am Maddie, and my co-host again here on episode 4 of season 2 is the world's strongest man, Smitty.
Thank you very much.
Your biceps are in the way. Get your biceps off of me.
You can kiss them if you want.
They're a little veiny, a little too veiny for me, for my liking. Yes, you just eat weights, don't you? You just go down to the gym.
I do.
You a grunter on the bench?
On
those
the
guys,
bench?
You know those little brick shit house guys?
Yeah. Like,
all they do is lift all day.
Weight lifting belt.
And they'll eat like 40,000 calories, and the next week they'll eat salads all week.
Yeah.
You know, just to shit it out, and they're in like grunting, like the Kevin, like that Kevin Hart thing.
Yeah.
When he was doing the grunting and the. You work at T-Mobile.
Yeah, they bring like the gallons of water to the gym. And they just throwing down gallons.
And I've always said this. Never trust a man who drinks water from a gallon jug.
I would agree with that.
Never. You also never trust a guy with a 27-inch waist. Think about it. Every guy you know with a 27-inch waist.
Is an asshole?
Tough. Yeah, that's a guy you just want to deal with.
What about a big butt and a smile?
I'm all for a big butt and a smile.
Can you trust that?
Yeah, I can trust a big butt to smile, no doubt. So the news, it is sponsored by Lops Brewing. Lops Brewing is a brewery tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's now open 7 days a week.
Let's go. Fired up.
Use coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order because this podcast has its own promo code.
Let's go.
Its own cheat code, if you will. 10% off of your next online order using the code SPORTS.
You know what you should order? You should order some of that creamsicle imperial stout that just came out.
Yes, it just came out. It's an orange.
Vanilla and orange, like a creamsicle.
Yes.
Imperial stout. It sounds delicious.
It does sound fantastic. We're drinking Sunset Mimosa currently.
Right now.
As we speak. Yes. So visit www.lopsbrewing.com and follow at Lops, L-O-P-S Brewing, on Twitter for new beers and events. And you definitely want to pick up with a sports code. With your 10% off, you can pick up some of that creamsicle. Or some, what did they have the other day? The marshmallow.
Yeah, I had some of the marshmallow stout. That was delicious. The tiramisu was so good that they sold out of that before I could grab some of that.
You couldn't get it.
So that's unfortunate, but they must be doing well down there. So go down there, check them out, buy some beer, use the code, and everybody, let's get drunk together.
let's do it together. And we will have an outing at Lops Brewing with all of our groupies.
Absolutely, we will.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the COVID ends, Sports and Shit's heading down, and we're going to bring a whole shit.
Oh, with the party bus? No.
I mean, right. If you want to take a party bus, we can.
You want to get the party bus?
Let's get a disco
one of those
ball.
15
let's get a
seaters.
Yeah, let's get a party bus. We'll play the 80s, you know, hair metal.
Yeah.
And we'll head on down and
absolutely. Like we're 23 again. Just head down.
Yeah.
We'll be fast asleep at 8:30.
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard for us to put on a program.
It would be.
After that.
It would be.
But we can give it a go.
Yeah, of course. Maybe it'll be a little bit more colorful. Maybe a little bit better than the weekly show. So the news is brought to you by Lobs Brewing, and here is item number one. The world's first speeding ticket was issued back on January 28th. We have an anniversary. January 28th of 1896 to an England motorist got the first speeding ticket in the world for going 8 miles per hour in a 2-mile-per-hour zone. 2 miles per hour.
Don't people walk at 3 to 4 miles per hour?
They do. Yeah. This is 2 miles per hour.
So the car actually goes slower than you can walk.
Right.
So what is the purpose of the car?
Do you realize when you're driving, let's say you're in a 25 zone. When you're going 25, it feels like you're not moving. Like it feels like you're going to.
If people drive, if there's a speed limit of 30 miles an hour and people are going under the speed limit, I am legitimately angry.
Yes.
Very, very angry.
In fact, it happened on the ride down here. Well, I was angry at a guy going 70. So if I'm mad at a guy going 70, get out of my way. Then I'm definitely mad at a guy going 2 miles per hour. That's like the guy with the tortoise.
This guy, though, is my hero. Going 8 and a 2, that's like going 200 miles an hour in a 55. He was just like, fuck this shit. Get out of my way and let me drive my car.
Yeah, I believe the term is taking caution to the wind.
throwing caution to the wind.
Yes, throwing caution to the wind at 8 miles per hour and a 2 mile per hour.
You know what he was doing?
He's been hauling.
You know what he was doing? He was riding like the wind, like Christopher Cross.
He was riding like the wind. That's a great song.
Sure is.
So anyway, this monkey tail beard, this is a new thing now. It's the latest male fashion trend. It's a monkey tail. So the tail is actually the mustache area.
Yeah, so what it does is it goes from your like your sideburn down along your jawline and then up around the other side of your mouth and then like a mustache.
Up the sideburn.
So right. From down one side of your face.
Wraps around the chin.
Wraps around the chin and then right. Goes up the other side of your mouth from the side that it came down on.
Right.
And then across your lip right. As a mustache.
Stops there.
And stops.
Right. It's the worst looking thing I've seen.
It's the most ridiculous thing yeah. I've ever seen.
I have a goatee. I would never do the monkey tail
thing. I think you should do the monkey tail thing.
You think I should do the... How would I look with a monkey tail?
I think you would look tremendous, especially with nothing on top.
You just said the dumbest thing you've ever seen.
I think on you...
Now you advocate for it?
I advocate for it.
You advocate it on me.
On
it looks
you.
Good on you, though, like Rodney Dangerfield.
Exactly. Yeah. Looks good on you, though.
Right.
I want to see it on you.
Do you want to see it on
I
you?
Do want to see
I
it
I think
on
we
you.
Should poll. Poll time on Twitter.
Okay.
We're going to poll this on Facebook and Twitter.
Both of us get monkey tail beards?
It might take you 3 years to grow a monkey tail, do you think?
No.
You don't grow hair as quickly as I do, do you? Facial, of the facial variety?
Well, I mean, look at me now.
Oh, yeah, you do have some there.
I got
yeah,
some going
do.
On.
You do have some.
I mean,
some.
Mine is white.
It's white. it might be an age thing.
My white in the chin area. Yeah. What kind of cat has the multicolored hair? Like a calico or some shit? I'm gonna have like a,
I don't know.
I have no idea because I don't know.
Does calico cats have multicolored hair?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You have a salt and pepper with a little bit of
right.
Peanut butter.
So I'm gonna have like a, I'm gonna have a calico monkey tail.
Calico monkey tail
beard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The calico cats.
Yeah.
You may want to look that up, folks. Speaking of hair, Manscaped, the company who does the male grooming. I guess they will now be the official men's grooming partner of the Ottawa Senators of the NHL. And the official, and this is true, the official below-the-waist grooming partner of the Montreal Canadiens. Below-the-waist.
Grooming partner.
Below-the-waist, and that's not the knees.
Below-the-waist and above the knees.
Yeah, above the knees. Right. Yes. It's so Manscaped will have on-ice visibility at Bell Center. And Canadian Tire Center. So where those two teams play. This is a true statement.
That is true. It legitimately is true.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know who plays for the Canadian. Tyler Toffoli plays for the Canadians.
He does.
So, you know, he's out there, like, you know, shaving it off.
If you're on the team, do you have to be a representative of the sponsor you have? Do you have to have the below the belt, the below the base waist? Base, the below the waist grooming thing. I mean, do you have to like? Is it like a team thing where you're like, you have to advocate for this? It's part of the gig.
Well, I mean, it's like the high school kids who all dye their hair blonde.
Yeah, like the soccer team will get together, like the playoffs or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. So do you like groom below the waist as a team?
As a team, I don't know. everybody uses one set of clippers.
Yeah, yeah. Just pass it around.
Pass it around.
No, that's it. Gets dull by the
everybody stand in a circle.
Yeah, I don't.
Let's see your junk.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Team bonding experience?
We actually reached out to Manscaped.
We did.
To do some sponsoring, and they shunned us.
They shunned us.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, we're far bigger than the Montreal Canadiens. So are. I don't know. I'm not sure why they accepted them and turned us down.
I mean, we have Lops Brewing now, which is a much bigger organization.
It's a much better sponsor.
Right. A much better sponsor.
Beer than you know, shaved than ball hair.
Than pubic hair on the ground.
Yeah. Shaved ball hair or beer. You choose.
Yeah, you choose. Yeah, I think I'll take the beer.
Yeah.
I'll take another.
Every day of the week.
Absolutely.
They are open every day of the week.
They are now, 7 days a week.
Let's go.
Lops Brewing. Bees. We've talked about bees before. Bees have some different skills and innate abilities.
Well, they also crash into shit.
And they do crash into shit. We talked about that, where they will just crash into things. Mm-hmm. You notice a bee will just fly into something. Well, they now are capable of performing basic math and understand the concept of zero, evidently, according to Uberfacts. Bees do basic math. Physics escapes them. But basic math is something that bees can do.
So they still will crash into shit. So what are we talking about, basic math? I mean, were we talking about, you know, addition and subtraction? Are we talking about fractions?
Is there multiplication?
We're talking about long division?
You do long division, what, third grade-ish, fourth grade?
Yeah, I mean, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division is the basic math things. I'm going to say they don't know how to do multiplication and division.
No, the multiplication tables? I don't think so. I don't think they do that. Or long division. No. They don't, the remainder and stuff.
No, they're not carrying the one.
They're not remaindering. No. The basic math. So what is the concept of zero?
I don't know.
As we lose audience.
Zero is zero.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the concept of zero is.
Somebody let us know.
Yeah, let us know what the concept of zero is, or any basic math for that matter. Bees, I'm actually allergic to the yellow jackets, I believe. So
what about cicadas? Are you allergic to those?
The cicadas? John Cicada? He had some excellent songs.
I'm not allergic to John Cicada.
I enjoy
a good John Cicada song.
He's a dime. He is John Cicada.
He's a good-looking Latino.
So these cicadas that you speak of are poisoned by the hallucinogenic Massospora cicadina fungus. They turn into raging sex addicts who make love or mate until their genitals fall off.
Well, that sounds excessive.
Yeah. If you knew that that could happen, would you roll the dice?
No.
No,
I would not.
No. I mean, can they put them back on? I mean, if you, the genitals will just fall off.
Just falls right off.
Yeah. I don't think it's something you put back on.
I mean, I don't think that they have any surgeons in there.
No. Is this one of those like bees when they sting you, they die? Is this like a cicada?
So these cicadas look like kind of bees type of bugs. I mean, they're not bees, but they look like flies.
Like a bee, termite-ish.
Right. Some kind of bug with wings.
Yeah, with wings. So what I'm saying is it like a bee stinging you and dying that this one it can only be a raging sex addict one time and then it falls off and then they're done?
I guess. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. How long do they get to be raging sex addicts for?
Well, I mean, this one time, it depends on how.
Well, that's what I mean. Long, like how long like do they, can they get after it for like 5 minutes and
they fall off? They may be different than humans. They may be able to do it for like a month or something. Who knows? I mean, some of these insects.
I mean, I think my penis would probably fall off if I did it for a month.
I think you would just take it off and throw it across the room.
if I did it for a month straight?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'd be so done with it. You'd be like, someone take this thing. I think you would. I think you'd be done. Yeah. So I would as well, to be quite frank.
Could someone get rid of this, please? Yeah,
someone take this from me. I am just injuring people. I'm harming myself. So there's this wristband that's out right now. Tells your boss if you're unhappy. So it's like one. It must be like one of those mood things.
It's like a mood ring?
Like a mood ring. It tells your boss if you're unhappy. It's a wristband. It's almost like a Fitbit, looks like. It will tell your boss if you're unhappy. At first glance, the silicone wristband could be mistaken for one that tracks your heart rate, like a Fitbit or something like that. However, the wearable technology called a mood beam isn't here to monitor your physical health. Instead, it allows your employer to track your emotional state. Can you imagine what that thing would say to your boss?
I wish I've had that on at some point.
Yes, get a couple of them. I don't think you couldn't hide what you were feeling.
No.
There'd be a lot of people fired.
Fired.
Yes. Furred.
Furred.
They would. They would be. They'd be fired because that would be a disaster, really.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a terrible idea.
It is.
Like an absolutely terrible idea.
I'm not sure why anyone would want that. I'm not sure why the employee would want it or the employer, to be quite honest. There's a woman out there who spent $27,000 on a massive My Little Pony collection. $27,000 on it. Now, I'm a collector. You're a collector.
Yeah.
You know, we collect, you know, baseball cards or memorabilia, or that some people collect comic books or, mm-hmm. you know, Beanie Babies was the rage years back. My Little Pony collection. Are there rare My Little Ponies like Beanie Babies and such?
I'm going to say there is.
I'm sure there probably are.
I'm going to say there is.
Right.
I'm going to say it's not much different than somebody spending $27,000 on Jim Rice cards.
Right. I mean, I think that's very true. But where would you store $27,000? I mean, how much is a My Little Pony? It must be, I don't know, what's it, $5 for one of those?
You know, the rare ones are probably more.
Right.
I would guess you find them on eBay or some shit like that.
So you'd have to get a pretty big shelving.
But so this lady, there's a picture of her. She has about 8 large shelves and maybe another 4 smaller shelves completely full with My Little Ponies.
Yeah.
So she's got to have hundreds. Got to be hundreds, right? Thousands?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's an easy Christmas gift idea.
Do you like pony. Comb the hair on all of them?
I don't know. My Little Pony, I think my sister had My Little Pony. Maybe.
What are you doing?
Did my daughter have it? I don't know.
What are you doing with it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the enamor is. I mean, I could see if you liked it as a kid. That's a little extreme for me, taste.
I'm not buying them.
No, I mean, I never really heard of My Little Pony being a collectible type of thing, but what have you. I mean, everybody's entitled to their own likes and dislikes. A man who died visiting a sex worker has extreme orgasm listed as his official cause of death. So he visited a sex worker, which must be a prostitute.
Prostitute.
So that's a politically correct term for prostitutes now?
Sex worker?
Is that what we're calling them now?
Sure.
Sex workers?
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So sex worker had sex with this man and he died of an extreme orgasm. That was the cause of death. So again, let's say your genitals didn't fall off. Okay, hypothetically. And then you're having, you know, relations and you died. Is that a way you'd want to go out? I mean, you talk about ways to go out. I'd like to just go out sort of in my sleep. You know what I mean? I don't like pain. We talked about this. I don't like pain. So if that's the way we have to go and we all go, then I'd rather do that. I don't know if I'd want to go out that way. Like, at first you think, boy, what a way to go out. But really? I mean.
I would.
Really?
Sure.
You want to roll the dice, do you?
Yeah. Extreme orgasm. So
extreme.
Quotation fingers. So we're talking about.
What does
about,
that
like,
mean?
So does that mean you're like orgasming for like longer than a normal orgasm? So like a minute or whatever? Or two? Or three?
Or an hour? You don't know.
I don't know.
After a while, this could be painful. Do you know what I'm saying? Like painful. Like in the crotchal region?
Orgasms are painful?
Well, no. If it's a raging extreme one, and there's blood flow, and it could be very painful and discomfort, and there could be some discomfort.
I think you need to see a specialist. I think you need to see a physician.
I probably do need to see a physician for more than that. But what I'm saying to you is, this is an extreme circumstance. Will you die? This is not like. You know, hey, that was a good one. You know, and you pat each other on the back. That's not what this is. this is like you die at the end.
Pat each other on the back.
Right? High five, fist bump. This is not what this is. No, this isn't, you know, this is more of a extreme case.
Extreme
to me means painful, means hurtful.
I don't think it means
raging.
It didn't say raging orgasm.
No. Well, I got it mixed up with a sex worker, the raging sex worker. Okay, so we have another state map. I'm getting good at the maps.
Where's Alabama?
I have no idea. I was going to tell you where the New England states were. I finally learned that. So this is a state map with the biggest pet peeves of each state. So the state pet peeve for Massachusetts, I'm going to go with burping is a pet peeve, which I, you know, how is traffic not a pet peeve of some, like something in traffic, like traffic. Guys going 2 miles per hour.
I don't even think traffic is listed at all on this.
I don't think so.
Which is outrageous.
There's a couple burpings, a few burpings I see, which I don't know if, is that really a pet, would that be considered a pet peeve? Like, I don't know.
They also have bragging for Louisiana and Mississippi. Bragging?
Bragging, so sort of like a pompous Montana. Bragging. Is a pet peeve.
Like, I live in Montana and you don't?
I'll tell you what. Maine nailed it. Slow internet. Absolutely. That is a huge pet peeve. In
slow
Maine.
Internet is like in half the country.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, slow internet pisses people off.
It does. And it is an issue.
It is an issue.
Like, it's just when you get the, and you're waiting and there's that circle of death and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and then you refresh and then you go back and you restart and you just can't. There's nothing worse than, like, well, I'm sure there's something worse, like extreme orgasms. But this thing is terrible. Like, when you can't get to where you want to go on the internet. I mean, I know we're spoiled, but God, I'm paying $90 a month for internet.
The only state that has traffic is Delaware.
Delawareans. The Delawareites.
They're coming through huge.
Yeah, they don't love the traffic in Delaware.
Good for them.
Yeah, they like Cheese Whiz. And they hate traffic.
They got their Delaware. Shit together, Delaware.
I don't know about the Cheese Whiz part, but the traffic, yeah, I thought maybe New York would have traffic. But New York is not just New York City. I have to remember that. But what do you have in Cali? Is that slow internet?
Yeah, slow internet.
Wow.
Nevada is public displays of affection.
Is a pet peeve.
Yeah. So they don't like the people touching each other. They don't like the people out on the strip just groping each other and manhandling each other.
Well, is that like Nevada can be different rules in Las Vegas? Like there can be like prostitution in Nevada but not Vegas.
Is there
PDA in Nevada but not Vegas?
All of Nevada.
All of Nevada
PDAs.
Just doesn't like PDA.
No.
It's funny that in a state with Las Vegas would be included. Would not like PDA.
You know who else doesn't like PDAs? Hawaii.
Yeah, the Hawaiians aren't big on PDA. You know what I did see? Remember that couple that had the sex in the Skywheel?
Yeah.
We talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got arrested again, I saw. They got arrested for having sex on the beach, on Myrtle Beach this time. They said, you know what? We're not going up on the Skywheel because they'll find us there. Let's just have it right on the beach. They'll never see us. They got arrested again. For having sex again.
They seem like they're exhibitionists, maybe.
Yeah, I think they're raging sex addicts like those cicadas.
Yeah.
Cicadas.
Yeah. Extreme.
John cicada.
Extreme yeah. orgasms.
Yeah, they were having extreme orgasms. I'm telling you, they're fucking painful. I'm telling you, they must be painful. I'm going to my dying bed, not with an extreme orgasm, but I'm telling you, that's not so good. China. China's in the news. China's using anal swabs to detect COVID-19. Got the whole fist up there, Doc. Yeah, I don't.
Supposedly, it works better. It works better than a nasal swab.
You know what? Here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to give me an honest answer. Would you rather have your brain stabbed or be swabbed in the rectal region?
Stab my brain.
Stab your brain every day of the week.
10 times out of 10.
Every day of the week.
10 times out of 10.
Every day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. 10 times
every
out of 10.
Day, like Lops Brewing is open. That's what I want. I want the nasal thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's more accurate. I wonder if it's more accurate.
It's supposed to be more. It's supposed to be more accurate.
Because the feces has the bacteria.
I don't know.
Has all the answers, does it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question, but
got all the answers.
But
right,
you know, I'll go with inaccurate and in my nose rather than accurate.
Give me a false positive up my nose.
Yep.
Please. So a group of Harvard scientists have proposed a game-changing approach to fighting climate change, cooling the planet by blocking out the sun's rays. They're taking a page out of South Africa.
Yeah.
If that concept rings a bell, it's because it's eerily similar to the dystopian TV series Snowpiercer.
Yeah, they're stealing this from the South Africans.
Yeah, the South Africans were dimming the sun.
They were dimming the sun.
Back in season one, they were dimming the sun.
What these people are doing is they're cooling the planet by blocking the sun's rays. It's the same difference.
You know,
so basically, these people are just saying, hey, let's put up a giant umbrella. We'll block the sun right out.
You know what happened was the same people... One or two of the same people who were in that meeting in South Africa changed jobs, went over to Harvard,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, you know what we did in South Africa? We dimmed the sun. So here's an idea.
Let's dim the sun again.
Let's cool the planet by blocking out the sun's rays.
They just changed the words around because they didn't want to plagiarize.
Yeah, right. They don't want to steal the whole idea, word for word, verbatim. But they're gonna block the sun. So I think we're on it. We're on it. It's gonna be just terrific. Some news items in the world of sports. Here's Bob Nightingale. He writes for the MLB. In why I voted for LaTroy Hawkins on my Baseball Hall of Fame ballot, the influence of Royals great Hal McRae.
Why is LaTroy Hawkins getting a Hall of Fame?
LaTroy Hawkins is, but Curt Schilling's not in, and Manny Ramirez gets 20% of the votes, but LaTroy Hawkins gets a vote. See, this is why I don't.
Yeah.
We talked to Chad Finn about this later on from the Boston Globe. We'll talk about, because he's a BBWA guy. He doesn't have a vote yet, but he will in a few years. And we talked about this, and the writers, I believe, are somewhat abusing, some of them are, abusing this baseball Hall of Fame voting as sort of their own personal agenda.
I can almost guarantee you that in 4 or 5 years when Chad has his vote, that he will not vote for LaTroy Hawkins.
He will not vote for LaTroy Hawkins. He will not. But this guy voted for LaTroy Hawkins. So that tells me right there that you're just not taking it seriously. Talk about integrity. You're completely discrediting the integrity of the Hall of Fame. Belgian cyclist was told that she can't be a coach for a men's cycling team because she was in Playboy. Is Playboy still a thing? Like, is this still Playboy magazine?
I guess.
I honestly didn't know. People still get it?
Well, I mean, they read it for the articles.
We've always have. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, there's some really damn fine articles in there from talented writers. I haven't seen a Playboy in a long, long,
I haven't
long,
probably
long
seen
time.
A seen a Playboy since 7th grade.
Right.
I went to a Catholic school in 7th grade. We had a kid who, I don't know where he got them from, but he used to bring them into school and sell them to the other kids.
That is an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That is quite a salesman right there.
I may have bought
a
few.
Damn fine entrepreneur.
I may have bought a few.
Yeah. Hey, you got a little bit of milk money?
Yeah, I think they were like four. He sold them for like $4 or $5.
Wow. Nowadays, that's like $20.
Yeah.
Wow, that's.
Well, I mean, you're not getting that kind of.
So you went hungry for like 12 straight days.
Right,
Playboy.
I went hungry for a week and a half.
Yeah,
so
you didn't have Salisbury steak for 2 weeks.
Right,
so you could get a Playboy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this young woman cannot coach men's cycling because she was a Playboy model.
I mean, that seems wrong.
It seems excessive. I mean, isn't there a freedom of expression? Is that a thing? I don't even know if that's a thing.
Sure
is, that,
it is.
Is that something we just talk about, or is that actually a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should be allowed to do whatever you want. I mean, I guess it reflects poorly on the cycling team.
Maybe.
I mean,
I
but
don't know.
She's an attractive woman, so maybe, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe it would bring some fans to the team.
Yeah, maybe. It would bring some notoriety. I don't know. So China rolled out this coronavirus swab, and Smitty had two separate articles on it. So we wanted to bring it up again just to remind our listeners that China is swabbing rectal regions. So a judge was settled a boundary dispute up in Maine after a Maine man sawed his neighbor's garage in half because half of it, he said, was on his property.
That's tremendous.
So he took a sawzall.
Yep.
And sawed it in half.
He's like, this part's on my property, so right. I don't want it here anymore.
And he was interviewed, and he said, yeah, it was on, half of it was on my property, so I sawed it in half. He thought it was totally okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So he sawed it.
Sawed it in half, and then threw the half of the debris back onto the other guy's property.
Yeah, he was up in the Dover Cross, Foxcroft area of Maine. Sawed it in half.
And he's just like, here you go.
Here's your half.
Here's the rest of your shed.
Here it is.
Back on your property now.
There it is. Yours. This is yours, and this is mine. Yeah. Well, that's too bad. So that happened up in Maine. So that is ending our news for this week, sponsored by Lops Brewing. We will come back with Globe sports writer Chad Finn in just a bit. And he's also going to do 5 questions with 2 assholes with us. We will come back right after this break. Our special guest this week, we're really privileged to have Chad Finn, sports writer for the Boston Globe. Chad, thanks for joining us.
You bet, guys. Glad to be here.
So, Chad, plenty of Boston sports to talk about. We'll start with the Patriots. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the Brady Belichick, who was more important. And, of course, with Tom Brady's success and the Patriots having a difficult season, seems to be leaning towards Brady. Do you think there was a clear-cut winner in that? Is there someone who, I guess, had more of an importance to that run? Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? What's your opinion?
Yeah, it looks pretty good for Tom right now, considering he's in the Super Bowl, and I guess Belichick's on vacation somewhere, but he could be at the Senior Bowl looking for his next quarterback, I suppose. Right. But it comes down to one thing. The Patriots had the greatest coach in NFL history and the greatest quarterback in NFL history at the same exact time. And maybe you can say it's 53% Brady and 47% Belichick, or however that we want to break that down a few years from now when it's really clear. But I think a lot of people in the Boston media kind of are taking this opportunity to sort of discredit Belichick because he's been, you know, such a grumpy pain in the ass for so long. Right. The reality is, if you're a real Patriots fan who, you know, goes back to Grogan or goes back to even Bledsoe and Parcells or any time before this, you really shouldn't need a reminder to look back on these last 20 years and come up with 10 games off the top of your head that Bill Belichick won with some genius tactic or a great game plan or that sort of thing. Sure, Tom Brady was there too. Maybe he was even great in that particular game, but it was something that Belichick did that at least impacted the win as much as Brady did. I'll never discredit either one of them or diminish what either one of them did, but you could look at the bookend Rams Super Bowls and say two brilliant Belichick game plans to stop allegedly unstoppable offenses. And, you know, Brady obviously had a lot to do with those wins as well, but they scored 13 points in that last Super Bowl. They won that game because they shut down an offense that wasn't supposed to be stoppable. So to me, they're the greatest each of what they did, and together what they accomplished will never be matched by anybody in the history of the NFL.
I would agree with that. I definitely think that really the two of them together that really led to the unbridled success. So now the Patriots are looking for a quarterback. What do they do at this point moving forward at that position? Do they draft a QB at 15? You know, do they draft one later in the draft? Or, you know, are they looking to acquire somebody in free agency or via trade?
I think I'm going to go the N'Keal Harry for Deshaun Watson trade offer.
Saw that on sports radio today.
Yeah, he's throwing a couple second round picks. You know, maybe Gunnar Olszewski or something.
That'll get it done.
Yeah, that'll do it. I think it's Garoppolo. I think that's how it's going to shake out. Belichick loved him, and he really thought he was a successor. And there were issues that we kind of forget after Jimmy G moved on. The Patriots really did question his durability and whether he should have been playing through that shoulder injury while he was here. But in general, they thought really highly of him, how smart he was, how hard he worked. His sort of modern skill set, he's pretty mobile. You know, he's not going to be confused with Kyler Murray or anything like that, but he's a good enough, certainly more mobile than Brady is. So I think that's the guy. And if Stafford ends up in San Francisco or Deshaun Watson ends up there, or just the Niners decide that they want to move on from Jimmy G and take that out in his contract when they can, it's a pretty opportune time right now for them to cut their losses with him if they feel like they should do so. I think he's the one who ends up back here. I know the interest would be on the Patriots end. Garoppolo, you think, would be there, but he's an Illinois kid, and there might also be a chance for him to go to the Bears, which when he was with the Patriots, there were always thoughts that he might want to get back to the Midwest someday, play in front of friends and family, that sort of thing. So there might be other suitors for him, but if he ends up on the market, I think that's the guy. They just don't have what it takes to go out and get a Watson, obviously. They don't have the draft capital, and they shouldn't be trading all his picks anyway with all the needs they need on the rest of the roster, as great as Watson is. When it's all settled, it's Jimmy G and a draft second round or one of those comp picks may end up being their quarterback.
I really don't think it's a Belichick move to take a quarterback with a 15th pick. I think they'll probably go defensive line, offensive line, something like that to shore up.
Guard.
Yeah, because, you know, you may not have Tooney. You know, David Andrews is a free agent. So, you know, I think he picked Harry and he picked Michelle. I think it was uncharacteristic to take skilled position players. I don't know if it was pressure to try to appease Brady or what it was. It just wasn't like him to do that. And I don't see him doing it with a quarterback now, especially at his age, later on in his, you know, with Belichick later on in his career. I don't think he really has the patience, you know, to try to groom a top pick quarterback right now. I just don't see it happening.
It would only make sense if it were a surefire thing like Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be. Mac Jones, you just don't know. I know a lot of people have him coming to the Patriots. It does seem like it would be a possibility. I tend to think they'd use that 15th pick on a player at another skill position, whether on offense or defense. But, you know, if you think he's closer to Joe Burrow, a guy who played with really talented guys in college and ended up being a really talented guy himself, or if you think he's more like Ken Dorsey, who, you know, got to play with an NFL team at Miami and really proved that he wasn't a prospect himself, you kind of got to decide where Mac Jones fits on that spectrum. He apparently has made a great impression down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he would be the pick with the Saban connection and all of that. But I would still consider it a surprise if they did use that number 15 pick on a quarterback. There's other things they need to address, and quarterback can probably be addressed at least for the short term in free agency in a trade.
Now with the Red Sox, if you'd told me years ago that the Red Sox might be the most irrelevant team in the town, I would have thought you were crazy, right? Because they really are. I mean, they're fourth by a long shot right now, and not a lot of people talk about them and really falling out of favor. And do you think they're in a position? I think they'll be better. I mean, you can't possibly be as bad with two starters and three bullpen guys in the rotation as they were last year. At least they'll have a rotation of sorts. Do you think it's possible that they could make a run to maybe a wild card, a playoff, or will they be substantially better, or is this something that's just not on the radar right now for them?
Yeah, I wrote about that earlier today. I think it went up or was posted.
I actually read it.
Yeah, we just tweeted it. Yeah,
I mean, well, the thing was, I look back 2 years ago, which is the last real normal season we've had, and the team with the lowest win total to make the playoffs that year was the Brewers with 89 wins. Mm-hmm. And to me, that would be like the high end of what the Red Sox could achieve this season. If they got in that 88-89 win range, they won 84 2 years ago, and then they were on a 65 win pace last year. If that were played out over 162 games, they're 24 wins in 60 games that they had. If they got in that 88-89 range, I think that would be about the best case scenario for what they can do. We forget they have a couple of really good players because everybody's still pissed off they traded Mookie Betts, and you kind of overlook the fact that Xander Bogaerts is a cornerstone, consistent year to year now, and everything you want. You know, he's the guy in the locker room back when we went to the locker room as reporters, who was, after a lousy game, he was the one who always talked. He's a real stand-up guy, and he's become even more and more of a leader as he's gotten better and better as a player. You know, Devers kind of had some hiccups last year, especially defensively, but the talent with him is really obvious, and he's a good kid, so he's going to be a really high-end player. But you just, even if you assume the best with the lineup, that J.D. Martinez will bounce back, that Benintendi will be here and bounce back, you still look at that starting rotation and say, how's this going to work? Garrett Rich is a talented pitcher, but he's thrown under 200 innings total the last 5 years. Wow. Everybody tries to talk themselves into Eovaldi as a front of the rotation starter because of that, you know, 18 inning, his work there, and the fact he was great down the stretch that year. But he's never been a consistent major league starter, and he's never been able to stay healthy. He's more, you know, more good stuff and a great teammate and all those things, but he hasn't really had the results. So you're really counting on Sale to come back in June and be Chris Sale right away, and that's probably not fair. You're counting on Erod to come back and be what he was 2 years ago when he won 19 games, and you just don't know the effect of the aftermath of COVID will have on him, and whether they'll take some time for him to build up, or you know, there'd be kind of that cloud there where he's not quite right at the beginning. So still a ton of question marks there. But I think the one thing Chaim Bloom's done really well, and it was kind of his mission when he got the job, was to rebuild the infrastructure of the organization to get depth of prospects in the minor leagues, to have a top 30 prospect list that's actually comprised of prospects and not, you know, the last 15 guys aren't guys who might see 10 games in the major leagues and spend the rest of their lives in Pawtucket, you know. So he's done a really good job of that, where there are some intriguing options on this roster just based on secondary trades that he's made. The deal with the Phillies last year, Pivetta and Seabold might be guys who helped his team this year. Mm-hmm. Pivetta could help them a lot if they harness his repertoire. So he's done that, and he's built up quality depth with the organization, but they're still a bit lacking in really high-end players, and especially on the pitching staff, and they're going to need a lot of luck there to be a playoff team. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but they just need a lot of things to go right that may not go right.
So speaking of going right, Curt Schilling,
Nice segue.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Up for the Hall of Fame. And so it appears that no one is going in. And I guess a bunch of writers submitted blank ballots. So what's your take on the whole Hall of Fame? You know, who votes and the players that are getting in or not getting in or not getting voted for, or a guy like Schilling that maybe he's not getting in because of his, you know, political beliefs? And what's your take on the whole kind of mess going on right now with the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Schilling's probably going to be the only person in history to tweet his way out of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
If he could stay off social media, he'd be in. You know, he was trending upward. He still got 71% of the vote this year. He's 16 votes away. It's really close. And had he stayed on that trajectory he was on, he probably would have got in last year. So, and certainly would get in next year. And now that looks like it's in doubt. So God only knows what he's going to say between now and the next time. Ballots are in voters' hands. He was fired by ESPN in April 2016. And I mentioned it in my column, the media column that runs Sunday in the Globe. How many, if they hadn't fired him then, how many different times could they have fired him after that?
Right.
If they didn't do it then, there would have been, the over-under is probably 50 on that. Yeah. So he's not going to change. And he's not, he's contradicts himself all the time. He says he doesn't believe he's a Hall of Famer, then rips the writers for, you know, not voting for him, and doesn't acknowledge that over 70% of the writers did vote for him. So it's going to be a mess again next year when he's up. He's not going to get in. He's counting on the Veterans Committee to get him in down the road. That's not going to happen either. Those guys hate him. One ex-player messaged Hall of Famer, messaged Shaughnessy today and said there's no chance. And I've heard the same thing just talking to, you know, guys who are around the game. You're like, I don't think Eckersley is a huge Schilling fan at this point. He's on the Hall of Fame. He was on the committee last year that got Harold Baines in. He wasn't necessarily Harold Baines' guy, but he was on that committee. And I don't think he would be somebody who voted for Schilling. So he's ruined his own road to the Hall of Fame. And as far as the writers go, I'm actually in the BBWA. I don't have a vote yet. I will in 3 or 4 years. But I still think they do a better job than what would happen if the players had the vote. If you go through baseball history, you know, when players have had the opportunity to vote on something like this, whether on a committee or a veterans committee or something else, it's been a constant cases of cronyism. The worst candidates in the Hall of Fame were put there by the players. The writers don't always get it right. They don't get any guidance from the Hall of Fame. The integrity and character clauses that they put on the ballot, they don't give you any interpretation of that. So everybody interprets it their own way. We could use a little bit more clarity from the Hall of Fame, but I think the writers, and maybe if you included some broadcasters, it's ridiculous, like a Vin Scully or somebody like that doesn't have a vote. But I think they're still the best ones to be doing this. It's just that the PEDs and you know, all the other guys damage the game. We get no guidance on how we're supposed to vote for him.
And last week we had Jeff Fry on, and he was talking about launch angle and some other aspects of baseball. But, you know, I mentioned to Jeff, I think every time baseball's gotten into a predicament, they've always leaned on the home run, you know, whether it's PEDs or it's, you know, chicks dig the long ball. Then it was a strike in 94, and then it was, you know, obviously PEDs, and then juicing the ball, and it always seems to lean on the home run. And now they've changed the game so that they're really way too home run heavy. And I think it's, other than the whole length of play thing, I think the bigger issue is just the strategy's been taken out of the game. It's not the game that people fell in love with. And I think that that's more of an issue, to be honest.
Yeah, they took out anything with risk, like stolen bases, which, you know, it's the suspense of the game. But, you know, if you're not an 85% base stealer like Ricky Henderson or Tim Raines, the math says don't do it. It's not efficient enough. You know, guys don't, there aren't triples. It's either a home run or double or nothing. Strikeouts, you know, I tend to think of it myself as just being just another out. But the fact is that back when there was some embarrassment to a strikeout, and, you know, the late Hank Aaron said his most embarrassing moments on a baseball field were when he had to walk back to the dugout after striking out, you know, that's added sort of a real repetitiveness, a real redundancy to the game, or it's either home run, walk, strikeout. Just because it's, you know, those three true outcomes and the analytics and all that have pointed the game in that direction. So I don't know, I'm not really sure how to how to repair it. But I'm with you that, you know, the home run used to be a thrill, and now it's something that, you know, you see so often and comes at the expense of plays that are actually more exciting. You know, a triple is probably the most exciting thing in baseball. That, you know, even something that was really good about baseball has now become, you know, one of the things that has become a problem. You're absolutely right about Major League Baseball falling back on the home run when they've needed a crutch, though. It's why it's ridiculous. Bud Selig's on the Hall of Fame. He knew everything that was going on the PED era, and they wrote it in 98, after, you know, 4 years after the strike to help the game recover. And the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, those guys aren't, there's some hypocrisy there. And again, you don't get any guidance from the Hall of Fame on what you're supposed to do about that as a voter.
So switching gears a little bit, I want to talk a little bit of Celtics. They've been, I would say, to this point in the season, maybe a little disappointing. I mean, they haven't had their whole lineup together. But one bright spot has been Jaylen Brown. Do you think he has passed Jason Tatum for the best player on the Celtics?
That's a great question. Last year, I wrote that I wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons, and I got slaughtered.
And looking pretty good now.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to make the leaps that he's made. I mean, the thing with Jaylen is he's just gotten better at everything, and constantly. It's not like fits and stops. He just keeps improving and improving. He couldn't cross over dribble when he got here without losing the ball or, you know, dribbling up to his chest. And now he's attacking the hoop and scoring with ease, and he's a knockdown three-point shooter. He's become a better passer. The defense has always been there. He's just a kid who really cares about everything and has worked hard and is really smart and has the physical skills to be a great player, and he's maximizing his talent. I think the assumption has always been Tatum was better because scoring came easier to Tatum. He's just got that ability to put the ball in the basket that makes you think he could win a scoring title in a certain circumstance. You know, maybe he'd be on a lousy team where he's the best scoring option, kind of like what's going on with Gordon Hayward in Charlotte right now. But I don't know if he's as complete a player as Jaylen is at this point. And, you know, all the things that have gone wrong for the Celtics or that have backfired, you know, Hayward breaking his leg, Kyrie being a nutcase, best laid plans falling apart, the terrible chemistry they had 2 years ago. The two most important things have worked out over these last 5 or 6 years, and it's that Danny Ainge got those number three picks right. He got the Jaylen Brown pick right. He got the Jason Tatum pick right, and they're maximizing the incredible ability they both have. They're both becoming, they're hitting their absolute ceiling as players. You can tell they're going to get every ounce of production out of their ability, and that's the absolute best thing you could have hoped for, is that those two got it right. Not only that, but they, you know, they like each other, play well together, and want to stay together as teammates. So in that sense, Celtics are lucky to have both of them.
All right. So Chad has been gracious enough to do our five questions with two assholes segment. He's very courageous.
Very courageous.
Yes. And this is the Maine edition. I live in Gorham, actually, Chad. So the four Mainers who are listening are really excited.
No, nice. About this.
So here we go. All right. So question number one. If you had the choice, if you could begin every sentence with "Hey, idiot," or end every sentence with "Haha, just kidding."
Hey, idiot.
Hey, there you go. Spoken
to two men. It doesn't have to be in person either. It can be like in an email or responding.
Which
to
I'm sure you've done on tweets.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking anyway. So right. I might as well.
Okay. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
Oh, invisibility. Yeah, no doubt. I'm going wherever I want to go, and they don't know I'm there.
That's a very good point. Okay, so if you could change lives with anyone, who would it be?
Oh, wow, with anyone at this point in time or in history?
In history, anyone.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind being Bobby Orr for a couple
of
weeks.
Boy. Oh,
that's a great one.
That's a great answer. Yeah.
Go watch all the hockey rings.
Bobby Orr, Larry Bird, something like that. Right. Just know what that feels like. Blow a fastball by somebody.
Right.
You know? I'm sure there are cruder answers to that.
Right. Bobby Orr in the 70s would be an excellent answer.
Yeah. So question number four, what is your favorite Boston sports moment?
It's probably got to be the Sox winning the World Series in 2004. I know that's probably the answer most people have, but, you know, I kind of sort of owe my career to that. I went to UMaine and worked in newspapers for a long time, graduated in 93, but By the time I got to the Globe, I wasn't writing anymore. I was just doing layout. And I got there in 03. And 04, the Sox won the series. And I was just so bummed out that all these years, they finally won. I have an outlet to write about it. I started a blog. And that blog sort of turned into what my job is at the Globe. So I was very fortunate in that regard. But just seeing them win, you never thought it was going to happen. Being able to share it with my dad and my daughter was born that year. I remember when they won, I brought her out and held her when they got the final out. It's just, that's the only thing in my lifetime that I never thought would happen in sports that I actually saw happen. And the way it happened, coming back against the Yankees like that, it was almost scripted.
Absolutely. All right. And question number five, what is your favorite spot in Maine?
Favorite spot in Maine? Wow. Well, it's funny. I grew up in Bath, but I spent a lot of my summers in Old Orchard. My extended family used to have a house there. We sold it seven or eight years ago, but it was in our family for over 100 years down on Beach Street, down by the Waves Motel. And so my favorite spot in a particular place and time would have been going up to the ballpark with like my cousins and watching AAA baseball games in the 80s up in Old Orchard, and then, you know, going down to the beach, hanging out, playing wiffle ball. That's where my best memories in Maine have come from. But my favorite spot, you know, like we like to go out to Acadia, you know, with the family and hike the little Jordan Pond Trail up there every couple of years, that sort of thing. Growing up, I went down to Popham a lot when I was in high school. But I would say if you put me in a specific place and time, it would probably be at the ballpark in Old Orchard Beach in 1984.
To be specific. Thanks again to Chad Finn from the Boston Globe, sports writer. He is from Maine, and he has a tremendous following. He's a tremendous sports writer, and we had a lot of fun with him. So thanks again to Chad for joining us and doing Five Questions with Two Assholes. That was high-end podcasting right there.
Certainly was.
Absolutely. There's no question. You know what time it is now? It is time for Missed Connections.
All I see is missed opportunity.
And Smitty has the first missed connections.
North Shore of Boston, a black leather trench coat guy saw a great-looking guy in an ankle-length black leather trench coat smoking a butt walking down Chelmsford Street around noon today. Would love to meet you or someone with the same look.
So this was a guy in a trench coat who was enamored with another guy in a trench coat.
No.
No.
This was a random guy or girl, maybe. I don't know. Okay. They don't say. Saw a guy walking.
Oh, saw a guy in a trench coat.
In a trench coat, smoking a butt, walking down Chelmsford Street. And they would love to meet them or not them. Maybe just someone, someone else that wears a trench coat and smokes.
So just calling out for a guy in a trench coat who smokes.
Yeah, is so that, anyone in an ankle-length black trench coat that smokes.
See, I used to have one of those long winter coats, you know, the long ones. I looked horrendously bad because it literally went down to my feet. Like, I'm so short that I just can't wear the long coat.
I was just going to say, a long coat for a short person is not the proper
attire. It wasn't. And I rocked it like I was totally in style, and I looked like a complete asshole. I just looked so stupid.
So you rocked it like you were like 6'2".
Oh, I did. I rocked it like I was. Like, I think this is back when I had a little bit of hair, and I remember when I slicked my hair back. I gelled it.
You gelled your hair?
I gelled my hair back in the day when I had.
When the hell did you do that?
This was. Yes, I did. There are photos of this right after college. I had just enough hair left, and I was slicking it back with the gel. Just enough to kill the rest of it.
All right, so. Yeah. I don't know if you have any of these pictures available, but one of these pictures needs to make its way.
Yeah, we're gonna
to Facebook.
I'll reach out
Twitter,
to a couple of people who might have
Instagram.
One. I think our friend Donna has some pictures like when we used to hang out just after college.
We need
stuff,
to, we need to see this.
That I
is this like the, are
a
you talking about? Is this like the Sissy K's?
Yeah, this is the Sissy K's. The you know
Black Rose,
what was it? Black Rose,
Purple Shamrock,
Purple Shamrock. Yeah, that time back then.
Avenue C.
Yeah, IJ Fitz. And I had a slick back. Not for long, but it's rare to get a photo of that, but I did. I had the slick. So anyway, I had the slick hair and the long coat. I mean, I looked like
Isn't that a song?
Slick hair and black coat.
long jacket. We might have to play that. Might make its way into the music of this
long jacket
of this particular episode. Yeah, I believe it is by Cake. I want to say
Cake.
I think so.
Really?
Yep.
So you listen to Cake?
I know that song.
Really? I don't know any Cake songs at all. I know Chocolate Cake, but I don't know that at all.
I think it is.
Yeah, is it?
I think.
Is it? Okay. Well, I'm going to take your word for it. I'm probably not going to search Cake.
Okay.
Okay.
So now it's your turn.
So it's my turn for Misconnections. All I see is missed opportunity. All right, my Misconnections. You were a divorced dad who came over to my place for a bear rubdown. You gave me $50. B-U-X. Sounds familiar. Ex-military guy here. Tell
that's
me how
same,
it ended.
That's it's the same
guy.
Dude.
It's the same guy as the, was it?
The beefy hairy ass.
The beefy hairy ass guy. Yes. Tell me how it ended and I'll know it's you. Yeah. So he has put in a second ad. He mixed it up a little, changed it up.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking for keywords, you know, different keywords. But he did do the $50 B-U-X, and that's a code, so it doesn't look like he's looking for money.
Right.
It's a code. It's like a little clever little play on words. So he's looking for, that's what he's looking for.
He's looking for money. This guy's out here. Is he a male prostitute, this guy?
I think he's
the ex-military beefy hairy ass guy?
He is, or he plays one on TV. I don't know. This is what he's doing.
He's a male hooker.
He is. He's looking for a bear rubdown, to give a bear rubdown.
Oh, he's looking to give this time.
Yeah, so who came over to my place for a bear rubdown? You gave me $50. Yes.
So he got paid for the to rub down someone else. The other time,
he's providing the service.
The other time, he wanted a Latino guy, I think, to blow him, but then give him money.
Well, he wanted the BB to completion thing, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is. So there's my Misconnection.
What do you think BB to completion means? Did we figure this out?
Yeah, I think it's probably bareback.
Oh, no. Yeah, bareback?
Yeah, I think it's probably bareback. All right. So there, again, we're educational. We are educational here on the program. You know, we just want to be hip. Hip to be square, as Huey Lewis would say.
We needed to get some Huey Lewis on here sometime.
I think we will. I think we should just, one episode, I think we'll just talk about music and just play clips of random songs.
That would be tremendous.
It would be a really good episode. Really, it'd be less of us talking and more songs being played. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Maybe we'll get a musician on as a guest, and then we'll just have half the show dedicated to let's just play some songs.
Can we get Jones on again?
Maybe Casey Kasem.
We can get Jones on.
We can get Jones, yeah.
Jones plays a little.
Yeah, Jones plays a little bit of the bass guitar.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
Waltham.
He slaps around the bass guitar a little bit.
He was in the band Waltham, who opened for someone big back in the day. Can't remember who it was. Sorry, Jones. They did open for somebody fairly big, though. One of those hair bands or something.
Oh, yeah?
They did. I think they opened for somebody.
Poison? Judas fairly. Priest? Kicks?
Cake?
Slaughter?
Slaughter. Striper?
Rat?
The Christian rock band? Striper? Yeah. Yeah, Rat, Round and Round.
White Lion.
I did a lip syncing thing in sixth grade to them, to Rat, Round and Round.
Did you?
Yeah, up on stage in middle school.
In sixth grade?
Sixth grade. We did Round and Round by Rat. Round and Round.
Yeah. You know? I did one in fifth grade to Jump by Van Halen.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I did the break dancing in fifth grade.
In sixth grade, it was either sixth grade or eighth grade, we did a skit to Dragnet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Was the crowd engaged in that one? Or,
yeah. I don't think that
went. Dragnet.
I don't think that went over too well.
Yeah.
That was like the remake of Dragnet or something.
Yeah.
I think Steve McGovern was involved in that.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Well, he spearheaded the run across Main
he
Street.
He did.
He did. Even though he says he didn't.
He says he didn't. But
yeah, he's full of shit.
It was totally him.
He so did. Anybody who does Dragnet for... fifth grade talent show is running bare ass
naked
across Main Street
yeah.
on a Saturday afternoon at 2:00. No question. Absolutely. That'll do it for this episode of the Sportsmanship Podcast. We appreciate everyone's patience and understanding as we continue on. And we'll be back again next week. We are sponsored by Lops Brewing. Smitty, another great episode, another wonderful job, and a lot of fun with Chad Finn this week.
Yes.
Another fantastic guest.
Fantastic guest. Very, very excited to have Chad join us, and he was tremendous. And looking forward to maybe having another guest next week. Could be our very first female guest, possibly.
Yes,
this week.
We may have our first female guest from the sports world.
We've done 5 questions with Kristen. We don't want to diss Kristen, but our very first female guest as far as a sports name.
Yes, could be coming up next week. Absolutely. And if you'd like to do 5 questions with 2 assholes, I like how the guests are doing it now. That's pretty cool.
It is. It's fun.
It really is cool. And Chad got a kick out of it. That was great. So that was great to have him on. You want to check out Chad Finn, who writes for the Boston Globe at Globe Chad Finn on Twitter. He's a great follow. Has a lot of great articles. Has a really good article about the Red Sox, actually, just posted today. You want to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Please subscribe to our podcast and rate and review it as well. We will be back next week. You know what I should tease? I don't know if you're up for this. If you have any plans for the Super Bowl, do you have any plans for the Super Bowl?
I do not.
I'm thinking maybe Facebook Live Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
I think so. I think maybe we'll do a Super Bowl Facebook Live. We can either do a pregame, or we can do a pregame into a little bit of the game. Or
should we do a pregame show?
Yeah, a little pregame.
Or should we do
the game's at 6:30?
Should we do like a live commentary during the game?
Live commentary during the game sounds interesting. Maybe we start like a half hour before, and then we just do a little bit of commentary.
We'll just roll right into the game and commentate. That's going to be a long one. That could be a long one.
That's going to be a long one. It's going to be a long one. We have a couple
sunset mimosas from Lops. A couple creamsicle.
That's what we'll do.
It's a couple creamsicle stouts from Lops.
That's what we'll do. We'll get a potpourri, if you will.
A potpourri.
Isn't a potpourri like a...
What in the fuck are you talking
isn't
about?
Isn't a potpourri like another word for variety, you fuck? Isn't it? A potpourri is like a... Isn't it like a variety? Can't you say that instead of variety? Jackass.
I don't know.
It is a smorgasbord of...
I mean, I think it's like... Isn't potpourri
like potpourri is the spray shit that you do when you take a crap in the thing. Yeah.
Well, like a scent, I get that. It's like a scented
poopery. You ever have the poopery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a scented like.
Yeah, scented like stuff. Yeah. That's a very good description
of
it. That's
of
all I had too.
Stuff.
It's a bag of like, almost looks like a bag of, yeah, like a stuff.
Yeah.
Like a just like
weeds.
A, like shit you took like, off the lawn.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Like weeds and various.
And they splash
stuff.
Some lavender and shit on it.
Right.
And, yeah. And you have potpourri.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a potpourri.
Yeah. So we're going to go out and get a variety. I'll just use the regular term. A variety of Lops Brewing beer. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a little Super Bowl party. How about the Sports and Shit podcast Super Bowl party?
I love it.
Oh, I love it. I just came up with it. We're brilliant.
Yep.
We really are.
We really are. Should we do Super Bowl squares?
Oh, that's a good idea. Super Bowl squares.
Sports and shit. And Super Bowl squares.
We can announce the winner like after every.
Yeah, during the fucking Facebook Live.
Wow, that's a great idea. You put that together? Okay, great. So, right. Yeah.
We did it.
If we could sell all the squares and people watch us, and then when they win, we'll announce it.
We'll ask.
Here's your money.
We'll ask our Facebook and Twitter followers if they want to jump on buy a square.
Yeah,
we say like I don't know $5.
Yeah, $5 a square.
We're not gonna
$5 a square.
Looking for anybody to go broke here.
Yeah, you might win $50, whatever. You know, in a quarter.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it? 10, 500? So no, like 125.
125 in a quarter.
Yeah, or hey. 100, 100, 100.
Yeah, and then the big one is
and then 200.
The end of it is usually 2. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. There it is.
I think we do that. Let's put that together. We'll post that up there on this week. All right. So that's enough. We will see you guys again next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Short skirt and a long jacket.